We want to talk about the backdrop for the job market. This morning, we did get the latest numbers out of ADP in terms of their jobs numbers for December. And private job growth totaling 807,000. That was their finding. It was much better than estimated. Our Brian Chung is here to talk the bigger jobs market with us as well. And Brian, you know, obviously this was a big number. We like to remind people it does not usually exactly match with the government numbers, right? Although trajectory-wise, it typically does. But talk us through these numbers and what the sort of, I don't know, big brain thinking is on the job market as we kick off 2022.
Yeah, and I was going to make that same caveat, which is that the ADP report, at least as of previous months, has tended to overestimate the gains seen in the official government release of the employment data only a few days afterwards. But of course, we are getting these ADP numbers covering the month of December, 2 days before of the BLS's report. But their figures this morning showing 807,000 jobs added in the month of November. That was almost double the estimate on the streets of about 410,000 job gains in that month. And overall, this kind of shows that the strength of the labor market appears to be largely in the favor of workers. And that's a theme that we also saw with the JOLTS data that we had gotten yesterday. I feel like, again, I have to say JOLTS whenever you talk about this report, also referring to the job openings and labor turnover survey. And the data from yesterday in the morning showed that the number of quits hit a high that was not seen in the survey's roughly 20-year history. It was about 4.5 million quits in the month of November, because that job data does tend to lag by about a month. But look, with job openings still at a very elevated 10.6 million level, this shows that workers have options. People are quitting because they know that there are job postings across the street. But of course, all this is only in play for the workers that are actively looking for work right now. And the big question with regards to the aggregate employment situation is whether or not the roughly 3.9 million people that are out of the workforce compared to pre-pandemic levels will come back in. That shows that there's still progress to be made, and we won't get that until Friday when we get the employment report. The estimates for Friday's report covering the month of November, or covering the month of December, are roughly 424,000, which very similar to the ADP estimates that we had seen this morning. So does that mean that we should also expect to see estimate beating report numbers on Friday? Maybe so, but also remember, in November, we had gotten 210,000 job gains. At the time, the ADP report had said they added about 534,000 in that month. So again, a bit of a history as of late of the ADP perhaps overstating those numbers.
And Brian, pretty big day for Fed watchers. So at 2 p.m., we're going to get the FOMC minutes from the last meeting, kind of a pivotal meeting. Just wondering what you're expecting to see.
Yeah, man, you guys are putting me back to work. I was off the last 2 days, and now I'm just, I've got a whole gambit of things I need to address today. But yes, Fed minutes expected at 2 p.m. today, covering that December FOMC meeting decision where the Federal Reserve opted to hold interest rates steady but double the pace of the taper. You recall that in November, the Fed had announced they would be slowing the asset purchase program at the tune of around $15 billion per month. They doubled that to about $30 billion per month in the December meeting. That's going to give the Fed more optionality to earlier and perhaps more aggressively raise interest rates this year if they could wrap up the whole tapering process and bring its quantitative easing program to a full stop by the middle of March-ish this year. So for the Federal Reserve, looking at those minutes and seeing not just the commentary on the Fed balance sheet, but also on the prospects of higher interest rates, which are now very much on the table, perhaps as early as March this year, that's going to be very interesting to see. Of course, those minutes will come out at 2 p.m. We'll have the full breakdown live here on Yahoo Finance.
And to take a step back to jobs for just a minute, as we set up for Friday, and I'm sure we're going to have this discussion more, Brian, but you know, many of the same sort of curbs on people going back to work, there was a lot of talk about them dissipating as we would get to the end of 2021, and they didn't quite do that, right? Yes, people who had built up their savings through stimulus, et cetera, they are working that down a little bit, right? People's nest eggs, if you will, are getting a little bit smaller, perhaps, as the pandemic goes on. But other issues like conundrums related to childcare because of the continued disruptions to schools and daycares and people getting sick, right? That doesn't seem to have gone away. And just the general desire for people to make life changes, right? And to get different job opportunities. So it feels like at this point, we're going to be having many of these same discussions around the the picture of jobs going into 2022 that we were having in 2021. And I guess one of the big outstanding questions is going to be what happens with wages. We had a little bit, Jared and I had a little bit of that discussion yesterday with Greg Dacko of Oxford Economics, where, you know, he pointed out that wages are starting to go up, but we also talked about the idea that they're still now not outpacing inflation. Maybe they'll start to do that this year. And then the whole wage spiral question comes into play also.
Yeah, and I think that really the critical question is kind of the first bit of what you're addressing there, which is how much of that 3.9 million shortfall when it comes to the amount of non-farm payrolls that there are or people at work effectively now compared to pre-pandemic levels of February 2020. Well, there was a prevailing narrative at the beginning of this pandemic in the middle to late parts of 2020 where people said we can absolutely get all of these people that have lost jobs in the middle of the pandemic back into work. And I think that the later we get into this recovery, the more there is this admission that maybe you can't get some of them back to work. And that's not all bad. It's not people who have decided in their mid-20s to remain at home and not work for the rest of their lives. A lot of this is because of kind of rational situations where you have people who were older, kind of ready to retire, but thought they were going to maybe work for another 3 or 4 years in the late part of 2019 or 2020. And then after the pandemic said, you know what, I'm just going to hang it up now. So you have those early retirements. You also have people who, on a grim note, also just died during the pandemic. So those are going to affect the numbers. And I think that when you even start to talk to Fed officials, even the more dovish ones are starting to say, you know, we may not be able to get every single payroll back into the economy at the other side of this, but can we get maximum employment, which could be defined as something else? You see a declining unemployment rate. That's certainly positive. And when you also look at prime age participation rates, that's also tilting upwards as well, even if the headline labor force participation rate itself is stagnating a little bit. So again, demographic changes happening here. The labor market might be looking very different in 2022, 2023, 2024 than it did in 2020. But of course, that's going to remain a story that the Federal Reserve and just economists at large will be watching in the months and years to come.
And we will too. I think that's a really good point about maximum employment. What does maximum employment mean now versus what it meant pre-pandemic? Yeah, I think that's going to be a really important ongoing discussion. And we'll have it with you. Brian, thanks. Appreciate it.